Our guest today is Jeff Book. He played for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Uniquely, the transition period between Coach Hayden Fry and Coach Ferentz, a perspective you don't often get and one that we talk about in this podcast. He's also the only Iowa football player to have a longer running show than this here, the Washed Up Walk-Ons. He is Jeffrey the Greek on Twitter. You've probably seen him come up once or twice, and we put together a great episode. Enjoy this one. Let's have a day. Let's go. Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast, another episode that Kevin's not here. It's just a myriad of reasons. He just likes to, we're just going down the list. I won't divulge the reason tonight, but it's me and Grant again. Tonight we have a guest to fill Kevin's spot with conversation. His name is Jeff Book. You know him better probably as Jeffrey the Greek on Twitter. And he has his own podcast, and I'm a little, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just want to say the intro, the music, awesome for you guys' podcast. Some of these podcasts, it's like you're going to a funeral, you know, like it's like depressing music or whatever. You guys got a good beat to it. I love the Let's Have a Day stuff, so good stuff.
I appreciate that. Lucked into both of those things. Let's Have a Day is probably just me nervously trying to figure out a way to cap off that intro.
Yeah,
and it just kind of stuck, and people love that. And then the music thing, I don't think, you know, aside from all of our experiences and all the cool stories we have and all the fun guests that we have on, I don't think I've ever been contacted about anything more than our intro music. And it quite literally, for anybody that is unaware, I'll just tell it again, 580 episodes deep here. I knew we needed some sort of intro to kind of make it sound professional. I went to YouTube Free Music Library and just picked like the first one that sounded decent. I cut the first 45 seconds of it off. And just that, I literally got lucky. You can go find it. People will sometimes there's commercials or like YouTube ads that use that music, and they're like, they're using your music. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're
not mine. It's
somebody else's. But
most people don't know that the free music library thing is what you have to rely on when you are a podcast of our ilk, if I could, because we actually, the very first season, we used an intro of a song from one of my favorite bands called Ween. Okay. Love the song. We got contacted pretty quickly into it. Like, did you know you can't use that? And we said, no, we did not. So then we were off to the free music library.
Sorry, we please don't sue us. We don't have any money to pay. So we will just stop.
Correct.
Yeah. So, yep. As Jeff mentioned there, I kind of cut the intro off early. If I was any better at podcasting, I would have gotten it in. Jeff, you are the co-host of Eyes on Big podcast. Podcast that is not just Iowa based, although you are a former Hawkeye, so that helps with the show tonight. We have a lot to connect and discuss. But a podcast, I believe, from what I can tell, is you're kind of Iowa based. Your co-host is sort of Illinois based. Those are the eyes, and then you guys are a Big Ten podcast in general. You kind of hit all of it. Is that correct?
You put the eyes together with Iowa and Illinois. Most people don't make that, so nice work. But yeah, when we started 2018, we were covering all 14 teams. That was a lot more manageable than the beast we have now of all 18 teams. We essentially, I'm still in sales. I still, you know, represent a company, different company than I was in 2018. But I travel around a lot in between phone calls and sales meetings. You have windshield time. You need to listen to something. So a lot of podcasts, can't just listen to music all day. It drives me nuts. And everything I was listening to that was college football content was all SEC. You know, this is back in even more so ESPN and SEC proudly being in bed together, but acting like they weren't. It drove me nuts. So my buddy Kurt and I, who were buddies, he didn't play college football. He played high school football. But we bonded over our love for college football and the Big Ten before we even recorded podcasts. So I just kept egging him on. I'm like, you know, let's go. Let's do this. Like, how hard can this be? Let's figure this out. And, you know, here we are 7 years later, basically, and we're still.
Yeah, it's funny because I believe and I feel like a lot of the reason of our success here is simply, I mean, to be sure, we had a little bit of talent, and Drake has a crazy personality, and the chemistry between the three of us is part of what made us successful enough that we're still around. I think a lot of it, though, was simply that no one else was doing it. And you are the one, I think technically, if we're going to go like former Iowa football players who have a podcast longest running, I think you guys have us by like 2 months, like a month. So
really, you guys were around. Okay.
Yeah. So 28.
When did you guys
2018
start?
Is when we started. We did not start until the Minnesota game of that season. We recapped.
Okay.
We either recapped or previewed the Minnesota game, which was, you know, 5 or 6 weeks into the season of the 2018 year, which was the first season that we did not play. Okay. And I went back and was trying to figure out when you guys started, and it was like September of that year, like October, somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, it would have been actually that summer. Okay. Before that season started. The first podcast we recorded was the Kentucky Derby of that year. Oh, yeah. We had been enjoying the Kentucky Derby all day. So by the time we hit record, we thought this was like gold that we put out. We listened to it the next day and we sounded like drunken buffoons. So I don't think we ever even released that podcast. And then we learned over time. But let me give you guys props in that how you have adapted and changed your podcast style, if I could say. Like, I think how you guys grabbed the audience at first was telling, you know, over-the-top stories and jokes. People connected to that. Everybody wants to get invited into the locker room, if you will, of like a D1 football program like that. So you guys did a great job of doing that. If I could be so bold, it maybe wasn't going to last that style forever. And I think since then you have adapted, you know, Tyler, I think I would give you probably a big chunk of that credit for keeping the thing going as much as you can. But, you know, you're a much better interviewer now, you know, than you were at the beginning. Nobody's a great interviewer with that stuff at the beginning. So all props to you guys for keeping it going.
I will gladly take the pat on the back. Anybody watching the YouTube, by the way, if you are, hit a like, smash your face into the subscribe button, all that good stuff. Yes to all of that. And I think in the beginning, out of purely, we didn't have anything else to bring to the table, that was just what it was going to be. Like, hey, you just got three meatheads on here who are 23 years old and they're dumb as shit, but they're kind of funny and they have very, very relevant and current stories and know at that point everybody on the team. Gotcha. You know, that next season, we were, you know, the true freshmen of that year, we didn't know, but they weren't really relevant to the program yet. So those other four classes that were in Iowa City, we knew everybody. So week in, week out, we could tell like these stories about the guys that then people were watching on Saturdays. And of course, it is a little bit weird because I do think that some of the people who early on caught us in the first year or two of what we were doing, if they were to and maybe have stopped listening since because they were turned off to that after a certain amount of time, I think if they came back around. And I've seen it a couple times. People have said it like, oh, wow, I came back to this. And this is a little bit different than what it used to be. And of course, anytime Drake hops on, he's sort of a rare occasion at this point because he's got life that's going on and he's doing other things. But it is very much so different than the first 100 episodes. And I think that's necessary. I think you have to change and evolve in anything in your career as a partner, as a husband, all these things.
There you go.
But yeah, I do believe you're probably onto something there. I think if we just would have sat there and told a lot of those same stories in the same tone, it probably would have dropped off a little bit. Yeah. And there's still some really bad episodes all the way through this thing up until now where like Kevin can't do it. I brought Grant on just for like a younger non-player perspective, and that helped a lot. Grant has been a huge upgrade to this show.
Stop it.
Absolutely. No, you seriously have been. And there's been some episodes where I've had to just hop on and do a solo episode to keep the consistency rolling. And it's just not great, but the consistency is ultimately what matters. So yeah, you guys have us by just a couple months. And so, to circle back around to that, it matters because you also played for Coach Ferentz. So we are, you and I and Kevin are the longest running podcasters from the KF era. So
there we go.
And I do
build the wall.
I think that, you're right in the sense of when you guys started your show, trying to approach it from a broader Big Ten perspective. I don't know. Like, I just started listening to McAfee back when he started in like 16, 17. I didn't know anything. I didn't know you could make money with podcasting. And like, now that we do like right. sponsorships, and we'll talk about the Iowa Egg Council here in a little bit, but all the stuff that we've done, like, and with you guys, I think the only people that were probably doing any sort of quality content was like the beat writers. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
I mean, and that's where, you know, I feel like the media has a job. I want to be very clear, you know, like we've had Scott Docterman on the podcast. I love everything that Scott Docterman does. He does a great job. I just felt like, and Kurt and I felt like our podcast needed to be like our old tagline was by the fans for the fans, you know, like, yeah, I played, but like, I'm way closer to being a fan now, you know, than I am a active player. And that's how I've been, is just a Iowa football fan first, a Big Ten fan second, a college football fan third. So that's what we were trying to give the perspective of to the audience, because that's who you're attracting, you know, like media guys, they're probably not listening to the podcast. You're getting to the diehard college football fans. That's what we've always been kind of geared toward. Now, the thing that's been interesting about it is, you know, we thought that it was going to be a smashing success, in that Big Ten fans were going to fight. We're going to say, man, we finally got a podcast, you know, that's our voice. It's not, you know, the SEC stuff. And we certainly have grabbed a ton of, you know, if you could, market share with the, inside the Big Ten football community. But then you find out that like a lot of fan bases, they just want their own content. They just want to be wrapped up in what they want to hear. They don't want somebody else telling them bad news. Michigan and Ohio State fans really do hate each other. Sometimes you'll get fans that will hate listen. If like Michigan loses a big game, you'll pick up Ohio State fans that week, stuff like that. That's been interesting to figure out. And then the funniest thing is, and I don't know if you've noticed this too, Tyler, but the best numbers are at the beginning of the football season. You know, like theoretically, if everybody in the Big Ten can go undefeated out of conference, so we have as much winning football going on into October, our numbers are high. But inevitably, you have two or three, you know, teams that start losing games. The numbers drop down. Can't do anything about that. That's just the nature of the beast.
Absolutely. The numbers on the backside of things are, we call them the numbies around here, and it's they are interesting, to say the least. 2021 was a good year. It's a good year up until one specific week, and it was absolutely our peak of this podcast. Like, we had the most listenership by a long shot. I'm not going to go through the numbers because no one cares, but it was when we beat Penn State and Petras completed that pass to Nico that following week, we've never had a response that great. I mean, when you're winning and you're undefeated, or they were 5-6-1 at that point, whatever, and you're ranked number two in the country, like, hey, I'd love to hear about it. When you lose to Iowa State in week two, it's not good. Nobody shows up. And I understand it. No. From the creator standpoint, it hurts me, because I am trying to build this brand. It's built on numbers and downloads. And it's like, I know we lost, but like, come along. We'll make it better. We'll talk it out. We'll make it so it's not so bad. But like, people do not
talk it out. Yeah, like, talk it out.
People don't want to relive the loss. They like, emotionally, they cannot handle it. And so I totally get it. No. At this point, I'm numb to it. When we lose, a lot of times I don't even look at the numbers. I'm like, screw it. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing because it doesn't matter. But if the Hawks could go 12-0, damn, the podcast sure would enjoy that. The brand would love that. And yeah, it's tough for you guys because it's like, you know, generally the big, you know, across the span of 14 or 18 teams, like, you guys are going to get you know, half the conference, one third of the conference is going to do well, and one third is going to do okay, and one third is going to suck. And like, that's just going to be the way it is every year. So you're never going to get this like, oh, everyone did great. But yeah, it's it probably is interesting from you guys. And you're right about the Ohio State, Michigan State hate listening. Iowa State fans, especially because we're in the state of Iowa, and my social has exposure to people in the state of Iowa. Iowa State fans will come in and listen to the preview of that week. Nebraska fans, mm-hmm. we have a great mm-hmm. guy, Jeremiah Searles, who played for Nebraska. He'll come in and preview Nebraska. We get a ton of Nebraska fans that come in and listen that week. It is funny though. It's hilarious. And I respect you guys as I respect anybody who continues to do it, because it's it sounds so dumb to tell people that it's tough to like keep doing a podcast every week. It's tough. And nobody really understands that. Like, what do you attribute your guys' consistency to?
Stubbornness, I guess.
Love doing it.
I've been on enough. Yeah, I do love doing it. Absolutely. Certainly, some podcasts are going to have topics that are just more fun to talk about. So you know, naturally going to be more excited to go at it. Number one for me all the time is just talking about live football. I mean, I freaking love this sport. I love breaking down what I think I'm going to see. I love breaking down what we just saw. You know, that is the top of the line for me. And then we have some fun other, you know, pods that we do. The one we have upcoming is always one of our best rated ones. It's the rankings pod. So we rank something fun, and then we rank the Big Ten coaches from bottom to top. That always gets, you know, people's blood boiling one way or the other.
That can take forever now.
Oh, yeah. Right. 18 teams. Like, you start doing the math, right? Yeah. 18 times 3 minutes on each
coach. That's your episode.
You got a whole podcast right there. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, we always have to constantly remind ourselves of, you know, when we did the team grades post view, we had to break that up into two, you know, 9-team pods. You can't do 18 and one. It'd be a 2-hour pod. People will get sick of listening to talk. But mostly, you know, I've gotten interviewed by several other podcasts, a couple radio stations, things like that. People ask, you know, what's the secret? I just say, you've got to keep hitting record. I mean, that is the number one thing. Just keep hitting the record button and see what happens.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I've told people that as well. Like, and I think I knew that from the beginning. I don't know why I knew that, but I knew that if your consistency is the number one thing, it's hard to deny you. Right. Like at some point, and honestly, it probably stems from my time in fitness and the exercise industry. Like, I know how much it matters to exercise every week on a consistent basis, whether it's 3 or 5 times a week, even if it's 20 minutes a day, that is going to add up months over years in your life. You're going to see the benefits of that. And so I just kind of approach the podcast with the same mentality of like, if it's good, it's good. If it's not, we'll try and get better. But as long as it's there, the consistency is going to get you past 95% of your competitors, because eventually someone's going to fall off. They're going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
And
maybe there's a little Coach Ferentz in there.
Oh, you know, yeah.
He just has the same message over and over again until it eventually soaks into our dumb thick skulls, you know, when we're young men. Like,
I would say 99% of any successful thing I've done from the time I was 18 until now is probably attributed in some way to Coach Ferentz or Coach Doyle or somebody in that program or just the program in general. So, and that's, you know, that's kind of why we're here. You were a part of that program, and you have such an interesting sort of place in Iowa history where you got the intersect of Coach Fry and Coach Ferentz. You were, as you told me in the email this morning, class of 2000 at Iowa. And was that the exact class of LeVar and Casper? So you guys were in the same class.
Yeah, Casper, LeVar, and I. LeVar and I were roommates all through college. Oh, I still consider him one of my best friends to this day. He's probably gripping the steering wheel right now of his SUV listening to this. Like, oh, God, what is he going to say? But, you know, no huge stories here. But, like, my roommates, so we lived on the Davenport Dungeon, right? Davenport Street. We had a house. We had a long snapper, Thad Sheldon. I don't know if you know Thad. He's in town. So we had Greg McLaughlin. We had a kicker. So we had two specialists on the team. I was mostly a D-back. So we got a D-back there. And then we got a linebacker with LeVar. So we pretty much lined up with the Washington walk-ons for how
that's incredible. The parallel is amazing. Casper, by the way, still relevant this time of year, every year. And he just posted it today on his social media because he still holds the record for the pro agility at the NFL Combine 25 years later. The guy ran a 3.73. He is an absolute physical specimen, built different, alien freak, whatever term you want to use. And I know he was that way, obviously, back then when he was 20, 22. He is still today at 40, whatever. What was it like?
My biggest claim to fame is I've just never gotten fat. That's what I give myself the most credit for. You know,
it's huge, right?
And then you look at him, and every now, you know, like we're Facebook friends, and you'll see a picture of the shirt off. You're like, God damn it, I didn't need to see that. You know, I'm having a pretty good day here, making me feel. And the funny thing is, he was like that. You know, a fitness freak all the time. A quick Casper story. I doubt he would, you know, care that I told this because it's hilarious. But, you know, back in the day, this is the 90s, right? And you could smoke in bars.
Like, oh, yeah.
People were smoking all the time. And he hated smoke. And his funniest thing that he would do, he's like, hey, man, can I bum a smoke? And like, yeah. And he would take the cigarette and just toss it right on the ground and put it out right in front of the guy.
I said, was Casper in a bunch of brawls then and down at a –
No,
down in Iowa City. Or
no. Okay. I mean, no,
probably not with maybe the guys he was hanging with.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah,
right, something like that. But yeah, I mean, all that. Yeah, but that. Yeah, the 2000 class. I mean, I know for a while, Coach Ferentz would talk about the 2000 class in that. You know, it didn't work out for us. Certainly, how we wanted it to when we got to Iowa in 96. I can still remember in 2000, our senior year. So that's Coach Ferentz's second year with the program. And, you know, we got better the previous year in 99, believe it or not, you know, at 1-10. But you head into 2000. And I mean, I really thought we were going to be a lot better, and we were, but it didn't take hold until the end of the year. We beat a ranked Penn State team. We beat a ranked Northwestern team. But a couple weeks before that, we were mathematically eliminated to go to a bowl. And he, after our first team meeting after that loss, he dismissed the whole team except for the seniors. And he was in tears and he cried and said, I am so sorry. I wanted to get you guys to a bowl game your senior year. You deserve it. And I will never forget that. I remember thinking, like, you know, what's he crying about? We're the ones, you know, not getting it done type of deal. And then the next year, 2001, was, you know, part of the breakthrough as well. They went to the Alamo Bowl. And middle of February, something like that, I'm living in a crappy apartment, you know, in Minnesota. I don't even know how he got my address. And he sent an Alamo Bowl watch to all of us, you know, seniors from 2000. Thank you for the hard work. The hard work you put in is why we were able to have success. Great things are happening moving forward in Iowa football. I mean, I still got the watch. It's completely broken, doesn't work anymore, but it's obviously a souvenir. So, like, you know, I've got more Kirk Ferentz stories, but like, that's the stuff that he does. Obviously, when I see people on Twitter saying fire Kirk Ferentz after we go down 7-0, it's hard for me to just, you know, sit back and deal with that like a normal person should. I get pissed, you know, right away. I'm not saying the guy, you know, is perfect. You know, the only perfect person was nailed to a cross, but he's a pretty awesome coach. People that don't recognize that, in my estimation, just don't recognize college football.
Yeah, there's a lot there. First of all, wow, that it doesn't surprise me in the least. It sounds exactly like Coach KF, but to hear that was going on, I mean, that would have been 15 years almost before we came in. Like, and he's in his, I mean, just, and when KF cries, it's just like, we just talked about this with Nick Jackson or whoever it was. It's like, man, you can tell how much this guy loves football. and has really put every ounce of his soul into what he's doing. And it's just like, it's hard not to get behind that, right? Like, that's the general of the army right there. And very cool that he did that. Doesn't surprise me at all that he found your address at some crappy apartment in Minnesota, because the guy has powers. He has his ways. And like, if he saw you on the street, he would call you out by name today. And you'd be like,
absolutely, like,
what is going on? And then, when people say stuff about firing him on Twitter, which is very easy to do, I get it. It's just a shit app, where you just can spew whatever you want. It strikes a chord with people who actually know him. And
I don't know if you've ever done this, but every now and then a couple Hawkeye accounts that I feel like I've gotten to know, even if I, you know, don't really know them, they'll go nuts after a loss, and I'll just kind of let it go. And then I'll kind of slide into their DMs the next day and be like, so do you really want Kirk Ferentz fired? Mm. Every single time. Oh, no. And I'm like, okay. You know, like, maybe you could try not tweeting that out 10 minutes after the game.
Yeah.
You know, give that a shot. Just give yourself a little space. Understand that it's impossible to win every single, you know, football contest at this level. And, you know, give yourself a little space. But, I mean, fan is short for fanatic. You know, it's a saying that's probably overused, but that's the facts, you know, and that's what fuels college football fans. It's tough to know where that line is sometimes,
though. My favorite is, and I've gotten better about any more every year. I think I try less and less to engage, because it just isn't healthy for me. Like, I'm about to have my second kid, and I don't say that for congrats. Just like, I have other things going on in life that are way more important that I should spend my time on. But every once in a while, I'll interact just to have a little fun. Same thing. Have conversations. Try and get past the big, you know, the big dog talk, and like, see what people are actually trying to get at. Like, what are you actually mad about? Do you have real thoughts that like are coherent and make sense and are logical? Most of the time they don't. And I'll have these with people in those same situations. It's an hour, 2 hours, maybe just the day of a game, a tough game, whatever. And then I'll get a DM. It'll be about 2 or 3 days later. It's sometime in the middle of the next week. And it's from that account that I was having a back and forth with. And they're like, hey, I want to apologize. Da, 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 da. I was drinking with my buddies. Or like, I was just really fired up. And I get it. It's not something I relate with, because I don't really drink, but I get it. It's just, man, people are crazy. And then it's crazy how people feed off of that, and they think that those are good ideas. And it's just like, for a long time I like tried to think I was super unbiased about it. I was like, yes, I was a player, I played for the man, I played for these coaches, I played for this program, but I have a pretty unbiased view. And I think at this point I'm like big enough to admit, like, yes, I have a bias, but I think it's a pretty logical bias that I approach the conversations with. And it's just like, some of these things you get into is nuts. And you engage a lot. Like, from what I can tell, I mean, it's probably why you've been able to build a following, alongside the fact that you put out really good stuff about the Big Ten, about the Hawkeyes. You know, you have almost 8,000 followers. You subject yourself to a lot of that by engaging, and you have a lot of these. Like, I just saw you conversing back and forth with some Huskers a couple days ago. I'm like, man, he's dipping his toe in. Like, I kind of watch from afar.
Yeah,
and it's like it's entertaining.
Yeah,
I'll give it that.
I shouldn't. Let's be honest. You know, I'm a 47 year old man. I should grow up and not do it. And I definitely will say I don't do it as much as I used to. Every now and then you just are like, I got nothing going on tonight. You know, I might as well just go back and forth. And the funniest thing with the recent one is, by the way, how awesome was that dual win for the Hawks over Oklahoma State on Sunday night? I mean, Angelo Ferrari ripping that out was absolutely. So all I did was, you know, tweet out the video with him showing the three points, which was baller. Yeah. Like, he showed the 3 points as the ref was showing the 3 points.
Psycho.
You know, For sure. And that's it. I just said it's, you know, what a great moment or whatever. Nebraska fans then twisted that into,
oh yeah,
you know, not shaking the hands yeah. before the Iowa Nebraska game. I should have just let it go. There was no correlation in my mind, sure. you know, like it's two different sports. The setup for both things are completely different. The match was over when Ferrari did that, you know, in the first place. But anyways, you know, and then I'll go another month without really engaging too much with people because, you know, you take some time off. But every now and then, you know, once a month, you just have some fun.
Yeah, it's a spot where if you want entertainment, you can find it. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Did you – so you come in the class of 96, high school class of 96 is what you were?
Yep.
And you were a DB. Was there –
not really, not technically. What actually, were you? I was a running okay. back when I came in to
and you're,
Iowa.
And you're from where?
Pretty pale skin for that. Benton Community. Okay. So Benton Community. Reese Morgan coached at my high school for years and years and years. So he kind of laid the foundation for Benton football. And then my older brother Doug. Actually played football at Iowa as well. He started on the 1990 Rose Bowl team. My middle brother went to Drake. He started for 3 years at Drake, played with Chris Ash. You know him now. So, yeah, by the time I came around, it was expected, you know, to play football and play it well. Lucky enough to get a scholarship, a couple different scholarships. I was just thinking the other day, by the way, speaking of how dumb you are, I remember like I just like my whole goal was just a D1 scholarship, D1 scholarship. I would wake up to work out my junior year before my senior year, D1 scholarship, D1 scholarship. Like it was I was obsessive with it. And I was getting offers from, to me, D1 was Iowa and Iowa State and Penn State. Okay, that was D1. And I remember I was getting letters from Northern Iowa. And my dad's like, why are you not opening these letters up? And I'm like, I just want D1. He goes, you dumbass. That's a D1 school right there. You know, like I'll just to, you know, tell a story about how dumb you are when you're 17, yeah. 18, 19 years old. Like I couldn't even like fathom that. By the way, shout out to Jim and Kathy, my parents. They're the best people in the world. We're awesome parents. Anyways, I kind of went off on a tangent there, but you know, with my older brothers playing college football, with Doug playing at Iowa, I was around Iowa football to the time from when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
Brett Bielma was Doug's roommate in college. Shit. So like the, you know, Al Cross, Jim Hartlieb, like these were the roommates. So like, a normal day for me when I was 12 years old was going to watch my brother play in Kinnick Stadium and then going to a restaurant with all of his teammates and buddies to, you know, have pizza and hang out with my parents and them and then going home, you know, like, so the Iowa football experience was in my DNA for an early age. So obviously getting the chance then to be scholarshiped and go to Iowa. I mean, it was a lifelong journey.
Yeah. Certainly for myself as well. I was also trying to get a D1 scholarship. I was less successful. Did eventually get there though. So that's all that matters.
Hey, that's even more commendable.
And I wouldn't trade my actual experience for a scholarship right at a high school anyway. And now we have this podcast too. So, I mean, hey, there you go. Yeah. You come in and it's so interesting. You had Coach Fry, who would have been a part of your recruitment, and then the switch in mm-hmm. the middle of your career. How crazy is that? What do you remember from that?
Yeah. Like to give the audience a span, like when I was a freshman, Sed Shaw, Kerry Cooks, Tim Dwight, Jared DeVries were the upperclassmen. By the time I left, it was Nate Kading, Bob Sanders, Dallas Clark, you know, those. So that's the span of eras. So like getting there, nothing is what you think it's going to be. You know, like I just saw snapshots of how things were yeah. when I was so much younger. To get on campus, you know, and then to actually start running around playing football with grown ass men. I mean, that is like, I love how you guys break that stuff down on the podcast. And before I forget, I just want to say, you know, I didn't play much at Iowa, and it's still something that it hurts me to this day. You know, like, you don't go to a football program in college to sit, you right. know, like, that nobody wants that. I did a lot of sitting, as the joke goes. People ask me, did you play football at Iowa? I always joke and say, well, I practiced a lot at Iowa. But you guys talking about it so openly on the podcast and like talking about walking around the football complex, you know, feeling like as a second rate citizen, I'm not sure, you know, you never
said that. About right.
You know,
right.
exact phrase. But like yeah. listening to you guys talk about it, it's cathartic for me, you know, even in my advancing years. So I shout out to you guys for throwing that stuff out.
It's good.
There.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if anything, I'm very content, and over the top, happy with how my time went, but I'm not like there were, I think there's part of that is like the reality of like, I was basically a manager my first year. Like I think if you asked one day, I hope we get Coach Ferentz on this podcast, or maybe some of the other guys to have maybe a little bit more candid conversations where I ask their serious real opinion of, hey, freshman year, 2013, did you think this guy was going to make it? I bet they all say no. No, we like this. There was a good chance he was not going to make it. And that wasn't just from a
right.
football standpoint, but like, you know, some academics, just the way I was fitting in on the team. And so like, yeah. And Kevin, Drake, like, again, we all walked on, we all paid our way.
Well, even a certain player did think Kevin was a manager when he was a senior.
Yeah. AJ Epinesa, we tell that story all the time. Like he 5-star walks in first camp and he legitimately thought Kevin was a manager. So, you know, like it helped that our careers turned out the way they did. And Kevin got, you know, eventually became a captain, and we're all very comfortable with the way our careers turned out. It makes it easier to talk about the less, you know, fancy times in the first 2 to 3 years. I'm glad that it strikes home a little bit, but and I've heard of that from other guys as well. Probably wouldn't be as easy to talk about and make fun of if we would have washed out truly. But then again, maybe no one would be listening to us either. So there's that.
Yeah.
But back to, I just find it very interesting because we're in a similar spot right now, Jeff, where in my opinion, and maybe we can get into this on the second half here. In my opinion, I think KF is at the end of his career. His contract, I believe, is through 29. I highly doubt he makes it through 29. In my opinion, I think that this upcoming season could be his last year. I think this is the first legitimate year where you can start to point things out of like, hey, he's probably going to get that record that he's very close to.
Yeah.
He's already gone through all the 2020 stuff, all of the COVID stuff. Like, there isn't a lot left for him to do, combined with the factors of the expansion, NIL, the portal. As much as KF is great at the job, it's just a lot to handle as you get older and older. You feel like you've done what you can do, and it's just like, hey, I want to enjoy my time on this earth, not 14 hours a day at a football complex anymore. Is this his last year? I don't know. But we're nearing a situation where they're recruiting guys to the building now who likely aren't going to have the same head coach when they leave if they see their whole career as when they walked in. And you're one of those – at Iowa, that doesn't happen. You can't find very many of those people. So what was it like in that transition? Do you remember
when
Coach Fry brought you guys in and said, hey guys, I'm done. And that first meeting with Coach Ferentz, what was all of that like?
Yeah. Definitely surreal. I'll probably disappoint you a little bit exactly how much of the details I remember. It's been a poke, but you know, getting recruited, like, I knew how old Coach Fry was, you know, like the rumors were already swirling then. For me, I wanted to play at Iowa. I wanted to play for a legendary coach. If I got him for 1, 2, or 5 years or whatever, I think you'll still get a lot of kids in state that would feel the same way with Coach Ferentz. I don't know for sure. You know, none of us do exactly how long he's going to be. The one thing I would say is I don't think he wants to do anything else.
I don't either.
That's a huge. I hear you with the record. He's going to get it next year. It's an absolutely amazing career milestone that people should be to talk about for years. But yet, that's not what he 100% drives for. It's stuff like that. So we know that. So I don't know. We'll see. And, you know, as far as how the transition went, you know, when Coach Fry retired, it felt like there was a loss in the family. You know, that's what it felt like for me and my family. Like Coach Fry used to always walk up to my dad and walk up to me and say, Jeff, I like your dad because he always laughs at my jokes. He would always say that to me, you know, just a great dude. And like, then it's this unknown. And then I hear Kirk Ferentz, and truth be told, this is before internet. Yeah. I did not know who Kirk Ferentz was.
I don't think anybody
my
did.
Older brother, not a lot of people. My older brother was one of them that did, because he had time with Coach Ferentz as an O-line coach when he was at Iowa. He immediately got a hold of me and said, this guy is an absolute stud. You're going to love him. So he, and this is my older brother's like role. He was always good at gassing me up, you know, and like, he was right. You know, obviously what he said about Coach Ferentz wound up being true. Here we are sitting here 25 years later, and he's still the coach more than, so, you know, that, and then it's everything's new after that. Not that we didn't do strength and conditioning before Coach Doyle got there. I can assure you the intensity stepped up a level when Doyle walked in that room. That was something I screwed up, you know, at that time was not understanding I needed to match that intensity on a daily basis. And, you know, everything that goes along with that. So, like, whenever I see new coaches come into a program, especially when they're basically brand new to the program, even in the year, you know, the NIL and transfer portal years that we're in now, I still think to myself, there is a lot of work that has to be done. And Coach Ferentz knew what that work was, and he never got off the path. You know, like, he knew the path that he wanted it to be on. He knew the path that he wanted us to be on. I wanted full disclosure. I struggled with it big time. Okay. Like, you know, you look back, I was only 21, and, you know, you think you're old at that time. You're not old. 21. Sorry. I know you're 22, Grant, but you know, like, you have a lot of emotional things to figure out. And I struggled, and I had bad days, and Coach Ferentz, you know, stuck with me, brought me into his office and said, I know you're a good guy. I know you come from a good family. You know, like, stick it out. And thank God I listened to him. You know, I wrote him a letter 10, 12 years ago, once I got older, and just said, you probably don't remember doing this, but I just wanted to let you know how much it's meant to me, you know, throughout the years. I don't mean to gush again about Coach Ferentz, but that was what you believed, you know, looking back, was like, you felt what Coach Ferentz was saying was to be trusted. And I think every Iowa football player in the last 25 years can basically say the same stuff.
You put it about as good as you could put it. And we've tried to describe it on the show a million times. I just don't think you truly understand it until you get to see him in action. And even people's brief interactions with him, I've heard that people are just blown away. But when you get him for even more time, you know, he's walking around the weight room, or, you know, you see him in the hallway before a meeting, and you actually get 2 or 3 minutes of uninterrupted conversation that builds on the previous conversation that you had, and something that you talked about with him in the meeting that you're trying to work on that year. And you grow that over 1, 2, 4, 5 years. It's just, you just right. realize, like, he really truly was made to do what he's doing. And it's not something that you can, I'm not even sure that as a coach, he could instill that in other people. It was just something that he has right. innately, and it's made him incredible. And enough that we talk about it all the time on this show. So, before we move on, and I'm surprised I haven't done this. We want to talk about the Egg Council, Grant. We don't want to leave the Egg Council out here.
It's my favorite.
I had 5 eggs this morning. Oh. Did you?
Nice.
Baller.
Did I don't know. How many I had?
You probably Chick-fil-A. Didn't because you don't eat four. Breakfast. Because
you're weak. How much is in the Chick-fil-A breakfast burrito or whatever?
Eggs?
However many eggs are in that. That's what I
have. I would say maybe a half egg. I don't know. I've never had a Chick-fil-A breakfast burrito. I like Taco John's. But anything that has eggs in it, I'm a fan of. Like I said.
Five eggs, Tyler. You're a big spender here.
I will say right now, incredible time for the Iowa Egg Council to be part of the show because it shows how much money I have. I am rich. I buy all the eggs. If you want eggs, I'm keeping them like Fort Knox. I know that Fort Knox or wherever that is about to be they're going to audit that. Somebody might have to come to my house and audit how many eggs I have because I have a lot. People know I do the CrossFit stuff around here. We have to maintain muscle mass, maintain weight. Best way to do that every morning, start your day off with five eggs. Iowa Egg Council, got a fun fact for you guys. You know how many hens Iowa has producing eggs every year?
300,000.
I guess it's a lot.
300,000.
They have
millions.
45 million hens who produce 15 billion eggs a year. How incredible is that?
We still don't got enough eggs?
Flat eggs.
Number one
15 billion?
Egg-producing state in the country. Shout out.
Are we really?
Yes, sir.
Take that.
Everyone phenomenal. Else.
And I'm eating all of them. By the way, for those who are wondering, it's not just because I love eggs. You start your morning off with protein. It's incredible for your body. I'm not going to go into the science of that, but trust me, it's likely that I look better than you, the listener, right now. Muscular wise, and there's a reason for that.
Are you just turning the egg? We're supposed to be talking about the eggs. This is supposed to be a
This isn't about me. It's about eggs.
Hey.
Sorry.
Well, the egg thing could be a bald joke if we want to go. If we want to make it,
you could make it into a little Tyler. Yeah,
if that's how you wanted to do it.
Should I get an egg next time and get a little Tyler Kluver going around in here?
I don't know.
You put a beard on the egg.
Little glasses. You can dabble with the Photoshop, a little beard. So. Put some headphones on it. There's some fun stuff.
The the people in the Discord, any of the hardcore listeners, could probably come up with a little Photoshop action of that. But shout out to the Egg Council for sponsoring us this year. So somewhere in that, Jeff, you have a. You said you didn't play a lot, so you were probably on the scout team. There had to be some kind of welcome to the Big Ten moment.
There we go.
And everybody usually has a good one. Mine was fortunately not a collision that I had, but more of a, oh, wow, that guy's way faster than me, made me lose my ankles. So what was yours?
Okay. So 96, so back in the day, the defensive assistant, basically ran the offensive scout team.
Yep.
Okay. And that guy's name was Bobby Diaco.
Okay.
Who I think we most guys know that. Yeah. So Bobby Diaco is the scout team coach. Shout out to one of my best friends who was a roommate, Henry Polio. And so Henry and Bobby Diaco were both from Jersey. So Diaco was just in, Henry's grill all the time, giving him shit. By the way, Henry Polio, one of the greatest blocking fullbacks in the history of Iowa. I know I'm biased, but that guy's helmet, when his head was in his helmet, it was like a 5-gallon Home Depot bucket filled with concrete. Like, that's how hard that dude's head was. So, and one of the guys that he would have cracked heads with on a daily basis was, I'm curious if either one of you know these names. So 96 starting linebackers were Vernon Rollins and Matt Hughes.
Matt Hughes.
Those names.
I know Matt Hughes. I've never heard of Vernon. No.
Oh, for two.
Matt Hughes in town. Yep. Great linebacker, Texas. Vernon Rollins, one of the baddest mofos that has ever wore the uniform, I assure you. Big dude from Jersey. His nickname was Debo because he looked and acted exactly like Debo from Friday. Just a mean dude. But anyway, so I'm scout team running back, and I remember it was 43 pop out. So I run up, and I was pretty physical running back, and maybe the senior guys weren't ready for it yet, and I kind of ran through a couple guys, and I got up like, man. This is going to be easier than maybe I thought it was going to be. Like, that was a pretty physical run. And then about three plays later, same play, I run through and Vernon Rollins cleaned me up And I remember walking back to the huddle, and I thought my spine, I thought people should be looking at me weird because I thought my spine and neck got indented for how hard he hit me. And Bobby Diaco is laughing his ass off, and he goes, I bet you never got hit that hard on the farm, did you, farm boy? And he is dying laughing.
From like a Disney script that he was quoting from?
Well, he walked around dressed like Rocky from Rocky IV. Okay. You know, remember when he was doing the training in Russia?
Okay.
That was pretty much how he dressed all the time. So I tell you what, like, I remember thinking that I got hit hard a couple times in high school. You don't know what it's like to get hit hard until a grown-ass Big Ten football player.
Yeah, and it was – you're describing the perfect situation because this happens every year is some freshman gets one on the starters because they don't understand the tempo. And this is something that I rarely had to deal with. It did sort of happen on punt and special teams occasionally, but like – very, very limited reps of it where it was happening all the time on the offensive defensive side of the ball. The seniors, the guys who start, they've got a lot of reps. They don't want to hurt their bodies. They're trying to go at like an 85%. When you hit somebody, you learn how to hit somebody in practice to make it look good for the coaches, but it doesn't hurt as bad as it would in a game or if you were going actual full speed. And freshmen don't understand that, especially freshmen who are like, oh, I'm going to earn my spot. I'm about to play. I got to make a name for myself. And so inevitably, freshman makes a big play, a big tackle, and everybody kind of looks around at each other like, okay, we have to baptize the kid now because he thinks that that's how it's going to go. And I watched it time after time, like a scout team linebacker shoots a gap and gets one on the offense. And then now Brandon Sheriff has to go kill somebody. Right. And it was amazing, especially with Brandon still playing today for a reason. And it's because he's an absolute specimen. But that's a great story. And Diaco adds to it. That's hilarious. We've never had a Hayden Fry impersonation, by the way, from earlier when you're talking about your we get a lot of like people like my KF or when we do the KF. We've never had anybody from the Hayden Fry era, so it's the first Hayden Fry impression of something that we can't do around here.
I am honored by that. There's a lot of Coach Fry players, you know, that are out there that would be great. Brian Hurley, he was a ex Coach Fry. You know, he's got his own. He does a really good job with the Hawkeye website. You know, keeping it up for players. There's some good. How about Anthony Hayden? Yeah. My gosh, he's on the Big Ten Network. He had a lot. He had a couple years with Coach Fry. You got some good ones.
If I failed in any pursuit with this podcast, it's to dive deeper into the I'm not going to call you old, but the older guys who are before my time. Outside of like the legends, right? We've had Greenway, we've had Abdul on, we've had Casper on. We just haven't had enough guys that were like played in the 80s and 90s that are up like around my dad's age, the guys that my dad would know. We get suggested all the time, like,
right,
you know, I'll get a DM every 3 months like, hey, my best buddy and I we're at the bar every Friday night. He was a linebacker back in 76. You got to have him on the podcast. And I'm like, I don't know. Sure. So that's funny.
I was kind of wondering if you were hard up for guests when you got me on. So I appreciate that.
You were heavily requested too.
Yeah. I mean, you've been requested, which is usually takes us about 10 people to say, hey, you got to have this guy on before we can have him on. And like you make sense more than most people. You're doing what we do. You understand the podcast game. You can talk like this is perfect. It's 53 minutes of, I feel like we've been talking for 10. Which means we should probably roll here into the one thing I do want to talk about, which is on the 31st of 2024, you posted a thread that was, and now I've lost it. No, it's right here. It was kind of like an end of 2024. You know, we had the bowl game and you're like, hey, I want to talk about these three things. And this is likely why a lot of people like to follow you. Give him the follow, by the way, Jeffrey the Greek on Twitter. And you're talking about the Music City Bowl, 2024 season, and then these next 8 months in the off season. And it was great. I retweeted it and said, hey, if I had a thread on Iowa football, the current state of this is essentially exactly what I would tweet. And now after talking to you to 54 minutes, I know why. It's because we share a very similar sentiment of kind of logical criticism, but still positive outlook overall. And, optimism just in general. And I think as guys who are in the program and like to see the program do well and are fans of the program, you're probably more of a true football fan than I am. Not probably, you are. There's just always going to be that, why would you be cynical? Why would you ever bring negative energy when you don't have to? Mm-hmm. And so that's and I'm sure you hear the criticism all the time as well. When you're pointing things out, you're like, oh, you're easy. You're not hard enough on the coaches. Yeah. You're not hard enough on the players. You settle. You're settling for the Hawkeyes being 8-4 every year.
Yeah,
that's the best one. But it was good, man. I truly agree with everything you said. You know, you're talking about how 8-5 is underwhelming. You took a victory lap on Tim Lester, which I think is I would like to take mine as well. I thought he was a good hire back when it happened. But there's a lot of exciting things. Yeah. Talking about how it is tough to lose that game, the Missouri game, when you're up 10 and you just you just disappear in the second half. Not to put you on the spot and re-digest the whole thing, but in a shorter gist in audio form, what is your outlook right now on the program? We've got, we're going into year two with our OC. We have KF at the helm still. We just lost Liddell Betts, which is a big piece. We have a lot of spots to fill on the defensive side of the ball. We still have questions on offense. What's your general outlook of the Hawkeyes right now?
I like that term, logical optimism. That's great. I would like to coin that somehow because that's how I try to look at everything, right? Liddell actually was a year younger than me, played with him at Iowa. He was as good of a dude as he was player and then as a coach, so that's a tough loss. You know, the thing in that thread that I was probably most proud of that I got the most feedback was you get so much frustration from it's the minority. Okay. I really do think that is I have text threads with brothers and cousins and buddies, and most of it is normal humans and Iowa fans. But the part that I brought up in there was, okay, if you're frustrated with Kirk Ferentz, I don't know what to tell you. However, how do you feel about LeVar Woods? He's pretty good, right? Okay, how do you feel about Phil Parker? He just won a major award last year. How do you feel about Tim Lester's first year and what he was able to do with the rushing attack? Also pretty good. Well, we just covered the O coordinator, D coordinator, and special teams coordinator. That means that I think we feel overall pretty good about the Iowa football program, right? I've had to continually tell people that Kirk Ferentz is not – calling the plays.
Unbelievable.
Signaling.
Unbelievable. I can't. I say anything more than anything else on Twitter, it's I can't. How many patterns of words in the English language do I have to put together to tell you that Kirk Ferentz, I truly don't even know if he knows all of the lingo that goes into the full play call. Like, he just knows. I mean, like,
right.
He doesn't even have a play.
Maybe not all of the lingo. And he definitely has a huge say. Sure. Like, are we going to go for it here? You know, like, I could maybe even say he could be talking in and saying, let's lean on the run a little bit here. We have them on their heels because maybe you'd want to listen to a guy that's been in the sport for 30 years when he has a feel for. I don't doubt things like that are going on. When I see fans say he doesn't want to see points on the board because it's hard for me like that. That's why I engage, because I'm laughing as I do it, because it's so absurd. So my whole point of the thread was to give a little bit. I in my job, I try to explain things to people in a very normal plain speak way. I think it's very common that people over talk people in an attempt to make themselves look smarter when you really need to just break things down for your audience in sales or a podcast so that they can ingest it and go on with their lives. So like, that's what I was trying to do. That's what I always try to do in those threads. But at the same time, maybe a little bit of twist of looking things a little bit deeper on what's actually happening here. Like real quick, like there's other podcasts and the college football podcast. And Tyler, I'm glad this kind of came up because, you know, I want to ask you, but I don't know if you ever listen to other college football podcasts, but, you know, you'll get guys on that they even know X's and O's.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I'll give it to them. They can break down a play, but they don't know what it takes to be in that locker room and to build constant drive that almost every person on that roster is going to lace back up, practice, and then go back at it. Kirk Ferentz is so good at that, and he gets so little credit for it. So I'm trying to, like, in a simple form way on a tweet, you know, multiple pages, just try to show people that, you know, like, this is what I think is going on. It does not mean I am right, I am wrong all the time.
You posted a screenshot in this thread, by the way. That's Iowa Sports Fan is its name. Jeez, Jeffrey, can you stick your head up his ass any deeper than it is right now? Kissing it? I mean, holy shit. And you're like, I hope this is enough critique for this Iowa fan. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I couldn't resist because his name is Iowa Fan, you know? So like, that's what
kills
me,
Jeff, is that these people, they will get on there. And because they have the luxury of time and they can kind of sit there and edit their tweet and read it over and make it sound good, they will put out statements that are like, they'll be in a conversation about frustration with the offense or frustration with the second half of, I had to put out stats and people still don't like half. I went back and found it. I'd have to go read it again, but like all of our games this year, 9 out of 12, 10 out of 12, we scored more in the second half than we did in the first half. But people remember the Iowa State.
It's a big deal.
People remember the Iowa State game, Missouri game, and the UCLA game because we happened to not in those three losses. And I'm like, well, but 10 out of our 13.
And
then you're like, these people are like, yeah, I can just tell. I can so clear as day. You can just see right where Ferentz put the brakes on. What?
Yep. It's what they in all honesty. That is what they think. They have convinced themselves.
Oh, they
that
are
this
convicted.
Is fact. And I don't know if we're doing any good, Tyler, but I think the best thing we can do is just try to hang in there and try to, you know, explain that it's not. And, you know, as far as losing to Iowa State, that sucked. Like it felt like somebody, you know, cooked me right in the nuts. Like it sucked. Yep. But man, four rivals every single year. And no fan wants to lose any of the – and it is such a unique thing about coaching at Iowa, playing at Iowa. You lose one of those rivalries, that's what people talk about. It's really hard to go 4-0 versus Iowa State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Nebraska. We go 3-1 or 4-0 almost every single year, and it's not enough. I don't think people take enough time understanding that, you know, and – the last thing I would say is on this kind of, you know, subtopic, Tyler, I don't know if in both of you, Grant, like, do you ever sit there and think, hey, Hawk fan 2669, how's things going at your job?
Dude,
are you absolutely dominating it every single day? Are you the number one salesperson, manager, HR director that's ever been? Because I bet you're not. I bet you're having
I don't have to wonder. Hawk fan's actually my burner account, so I'm very aware of how my job is going. So I don't have to wonder about that at all.
It's the one thing that you pull back on. There's a million times where you just want to say something and you're like, it's not worth it. Like, cause the reality is, it's like there probably is a bunch of these guys who are just like, they're not doing well in life. Maybe like this is their one thing. Yeah. Like they're able to have a Twitter account and just vent on Twitter about the stuff that they think they know. And it's like, and again, and I get called out because I've been doing this since we started the podcast. I naturally have I sway to the, when I speak, it's in a, I know it all kind of tone. And it's something that it's sure, something I've had sure. to work on for a very long time. And I'm
it's getting
still,
better. It's
I'm
it's
still
better.
Horrible at it.
It has gotten better in
but like,
2 years.
The amount of times fans on the of this show on Twitter, like in DMs, are like, he's like, ah. It's like if interesting strategy running a podcast brand where you tell fans they don't know shit about their sport. Like, and I'm like, I'm just, I don't do it well, but I'm trying to tell you that I know for a fact you don't know what you're talking about. And it is like, it goes, is what it is.
It goes with the Professor Xavier look you got going on here, you know? You're smarter than
I'm not.
You can talk down.
I'm not, and I do talk down. I'm an older brother. I think I'm great, and
yeah.
It is what it is, but like it's, sometimes it's just true. And
and as the expression now is, go touch some grass,
yeah.
You know? And trust me, I am mad, okay? And my wife knows if I'm down in the lair, as we call the downstairs athletic club, where we do all the recording, watch all the, you know, college football, Iowa football. If it's a loss, what actually helps is if I put my phone down, walk upstairs, say hi to my wife. Hi, Brett. My sons, they couldn't care less, yeah. Even though they're Iowa fans, they're 9 and 6. So I say hello to Harrison and Walter. And I guess find your own wife and Harrison and Walter,
yeah, absolutely,
into perspective a little bit. But also I want you to be a diehard fan. So we're asking a lot, yeah, of Iowa
You're
fans
right.
and college football fans. And
you're right. You're right.
It's cool to be diehard. I always say that all the time. It's like, don't have shame in being passionate about things. Like if you're passionate about Iowa football, that's great. Like it's cool to like things.
Yeah.
Like I don't like when people just pretend like, oh, I just don't really care if we lost this game. Like, it's just not really. I don't like anything. Like I'm not
true.
Passionate about any of this.
That's
stuff.
Annoying.
Like, Grant's the good antidote to me, where I come back on and I'm like, guys, it doesn't matter. It's football. Go be with your family. And Grant's like, no, actually, this one stuck with me. I didn't sleep Saturday.
I've heard you.
You know,
sometimes
I'm somewhere in, you know, probably closer to Grant. Yeah. It's got to mean something, you know, but obviously there's always much worse things that
sure.
happen.
Yeah. It was a great thread. Again, if people are interested, go find Jeffrey the Greek on Twitter and scroll back to December 31st. It was a nice New Year's Eve tweet to satisfy all your Hawkeye desires for the off season.
And to also give you a look in my sad life on New Year's Eve. That's what I got going on.
I think that's a great use of time, anyways. Honestly. Okay. As we move forward here, we'll kind of finish with this because I don't want to take up all your time. Again, Tim Lester, great first year. We got this Mark Gronowski guy. Who knows what he's going to be? Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be the savior. Cade was supposed to be the savior. We're looking ahead. We're not even there yet because we're going to have spring ball and then we're really going to get into that dead period of like, wow, there's nothing to talk about football wise, but we're far out in the off season right now. What are a couple things like that you're specifically looking at as we head into this off season? How much development do we need to see from this offense? You know, Lester should have the whole playbook in now this next year, as opposed to,
yeah,
you know, he was kind of dealing with maybe a truncated version of that. Gronowski, he's got the injury. What do we think about him being sidelined until realistically summer, and then he's jumping in? But he's got all this pedigree. Like, where are your thoughts around all this as we kind of look forward to next year?
By the way, speaking of receipts, I was the wet blanket with Cade. I tried to warn Iowa fans that he was not going to be the end-all, beat-all with that as well. I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it did, but in that same thread – I did, you know, at that time, Gronowski was not a part of the roster. I mentioned Gronowski. I didn't know if that was going to be an option from what I was hearing kind of behind the scenes. But the fact that, you know, Gronowski is on the roster, it's significant. Okay. That is as accomplished of a quarterback as far as, you know, how it fits with the offense than probably going back to Nate Stanley, who we obviously all owe an apology for what he was able to accomplish. So, you know, huge loss, obviously, with KJ going to the NFL.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see where he falls in the NFL draft coming up. But I still think overall the offensive line, I had been saying even before Tim Lester got there that I thought the offensive line was fine. It needed to be put in a little bit more advantageous spot to be able to show out. We saw that last year. I think we're going to see a continuation of the offensive line, a step back a little bit with running back. That's a generational running back right here. But somewhere in between where the rushing attack was last year and maybe where it's been before that, which is to say, I think it will be a strong rushing
attack.
Pretty
good, yeah.
Now we need Gronkowski. Yeah, pretty darn good. Now, I think what you're going to see is another year with the timing, with the wide receivers knowing where they need to be. I like the new kid they got. I am told that he's a speed demon. I felt like that was all that we needed. It's going to look better, but it will look better, you know, the third or fourth year into the offense as well. But I don't know if we're going to get as big of a leap up in the passing game as we saw with the rushing attack from last year to the previous year, but I think it will be comparable with how much more the passing attack. There was nobody to work with for the passing attack with Tim Lester. Like and I don't mean that, like, basically they had a version of me except playing quarterback at quarterback. Okay. Last year, that's not going to get it done. And it's going to be better this year. I also like Hardware Hank. I think I have read enough. I have had enough insiders that have given me information. So I think he is going to have a bright future too. So I love to see where this is going to go.
I love that.
Hank hasn't gotten enough love. Hank,
Grant's a big fan of Hardware Hank.
I agree.
Hasn't gotten enough love.
I agree.
Well,
yep.
Obviously, there's a lot more to Iowa football than that as we get closer. Might have to have Jeff back on. Maybe we do a crossover. Yeah. Maybe we do some more crossovers in the future because there'll be more exciting things to talk about.
Like we had kind of messaged, I do my biggest homework on the Big Ten kind of July and August. So I've done all my deep dives. So I would throw it out there. We could do a Big Ten deep dive sometime in that time frame. And
would love that because as the listeners of this show know, I don't do any of that. I don't do any of that. I'm horrible. And I don't have to because this isn't a Big Ten podcast, but I don't even deep dive Iowa as much as I probably should. And that's what, you know, we keep it casual around here. Yeah. We're bringing guys that actually know stuff and do the research. So
preview pods, a lot of, I just don't know.
Yeah. The preview pods around here are just generationally bad. They're just like mostly just betting segments.
Let's get awards winners as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
But it was fun to hear your story, Jeff, a little bit. And where you are now with the podcast, everybody, please go check out Eyes on Big. Give them some more.
I got some questions for Jeff before we
let him. Oh, yeah. Ooh. I forgot. I got some questions.
I got some stuff I wanted to get. So,
okay.
You mentioned it earlier with the Big Ten stuff as comparing it to SEC, ESPN bias or whatnot. Recently, this past season, I feel like you amongst me and a lot of other people on Twitter were on the front lines of this war, especially in playoff time, going against these SEC shills out there. And I feel like we did a good job winning some battles, but the war still looms on. How do we win the war against the biased SEC paid-off media?
This guy's great, man. I know. You would be the best Sideshow Bob of any podcast, man, the what you bring to the – it's amazing. Well, I would say – the number one thing is to keep winning national titles, right? I would say that's the biggest thing. Ohio State absolutely de-pantsing Tennessee was just phenomenal. Their fans are as toxic can be. Beating Texas, you know, even before you get to the championship game, Penn State showing out, you know, in the college football playoffs 2 years now, you know, that the SEC hasn't been up there. All of that stuff mixes together. So as much, Grant, as me and you on the front lines matters, dang it, we matter. I would say if the Big Ten could keep showing out on the football field, that probably would be the biggest thing. So you can already see it. You can see the biasness of if you find quote-unquote neutral college football websites – quote unquote neutral podcasts, you can already tell that the worm has turned a little bit. They're not, you know, gushing all.
Yeah, no, we just got to chip away at some of these, like the Paul Feinbaums of the world. Even like I see, I love them most of the time, but like I remember in the, you know, playoff time, there's like a Josh Pate clip where he's like, we might have overhyped the SEC this year. And it's like kind of like that. Well, I wonder who did that. If only we could find the guy who or who might be responsible. Not that it's all him. And he's I like Pate a lot. You know, I listen to some of his stuff. He's good. But it's like, you know, sometimes like I think the media was like, well, who could – like how did we get here with all this – all these SEC teams getting – losing all of a sudden? It's like, well, maybe like there you led yourself to this – to the water. And then now – and the water was poisonous. That's what you did.
And like, you know, when Tyler was talking about the numbers going down for Iowa listeners as Iowa loses, that's how ESPN looks at the SEC. That's they're a part of this process at least a little bit, because if you only play 8 conference games, you're going to probably wind up with one less loss if you're playing directional U. All of this fits together to the puzzle to try to, you know, present the best product they can to keep the numbers up. That stuff matters to ESPN. They need numbers as bad now as they have ever had.
We'll keep chipping away at the fight there. I mean, especially as it gets to the offseason, sometimes all you can do is just like, I'm going to pick some SEC school today. It's just going to get it. It's just that's how it is. Absolutely. You're in kind of a similar situation to me. I do sales as well during the day now. How do you explain to your coworkers of the business world that, yes, I'm sales, but I do podcast part time and not sound super weird?
I deal with mostly engineers and a little bit of soda. I don't run into an college football fans. It's happened every now and then. Typically, people just think it's pretty interesting more than anything.
Yeah. Okay. Because I do run into the
never be ashamed of what you are. Just be bold.
Yeah. No, I run into the I'm sorry if my Wi-Fi is bad, but I got a little lag, I think, going on here. I'm in a hotel. My apologies. But, like, I do try and, like, it's difficult to explain sometimes. Like, yeah, it's hard to not sound totally crazy. We're like, yeah, I got to go do a new podcast part time outside of work. And it's like, well, who does this guy think he is? Like, you can't explain. It's big enough that someone does care about it. And it's, but it's not like, I think people picture like, oh, you're just going to go scream at your buddy for an hour till nobody, you know, it's like, oh, hey, someone actually listens to this. Yeah.
Well, the good news is, my boss is Doug Book, my brother. He is the owner and inventor of the product Pave Drain that we sell. It is a permeable block system for roads and parking lots. Or if any of you big time podcasters would like a heated driveway, we can sell that to you as well. So my boss is also an avid listener of my podcast and your podcast. So he doesn't mind so much. So that's the nice thing.
Yeah. You guys should try explaining it as your full-time gig to people.
That's hard. That would be harder. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When I tell people or like, hey, you know, you go to the dentist or like, well, my dentist and my eye doctor both listen to the podcast actually, but shout out to you guys, by the way. But like you know, you're talking to somebody and they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I own a media company, kind of.
Yep.
We do podcasts. So,
but you also, you're in the fitness world too.
I am.
So that's
I am. But like, yeah, the easy out is just I'm a personal trainer. Yeah.
I got to say, I love your message that you give on Twitter that is fitness related, which is just get up and move.
You're the only one. People fucking hate me.
Dude, just get up and move, right?
No, dude.
Even Pat Anger had enough of it the other day.
I could tweet. If I got on right now and tweeted like Nebraska can suck my 10-inch hog, 1,000, 2,000 retweets, right? Yeah, right. If I got on here and tried to tell someone how like they could potentially save their life and not be diabetic in 20 years, 4 likes. I have 20,000 followers. 4 likes.
Doesn't that perfectly sum up Twitter and I would say human beings in general, right?
It's just like no one cares. Nobody cares. No one wants to.
I didn't get on this app to save my own life. I'll die when I want to. Tell me why Matt Rhule sucks. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, 100%. Because a couple weeks ago I tweeted something and Pat Anger was like, but like he responded with some gif like, "Boo, shut up. I want to eat donuts or something." I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is unbelievable.
That guy's a trip. Absolutely.
He is.
And then last thing before we let you go here is just I know you said you do a lot of it in June and July, and I understand, but way too early. I just want to hear pick a Big Ten champ for next year, and then the worst team in the Big Ten. Who's going to be the 18 out of 18?
Yeah, I would definitely keep an eye on Penn State for the team that I think can win the Big Ten championship. As much as it pains me, probably Oregon would also be up there, and obviously you can never forget about Ohio State. They're not going to have as big of a drop off as Michigan did last year, you know, after their national championship. So I don't have anything too prophetic there, but Penn State would be my early lead. And then on the bottom, I don't think you come back with what Purdue just went through in 1 year. And I think Barry Odom will take the time to build it up from the ground up, a la KF, you know, back in 1999. So I don't think it's going to be a transfer portal amazing situation that Purdue is going to pull off. I think they're going to struggle mightily next year. So that would be my pick for the basement.
Yeah, so you just went the top three teams from this year and then the current 18 team.
I tried to precede it by saying I didn't have a prophetic thing, but
sometimes it is what it is.
Right, yeah, and I think that's all reasonable. Like I mean, Penn State's going to be loaded. I understand, and I don't think Purdue might be in really big trouble for a little bit here. Who knows?
That was some lazy chalk that I just did right there. Bad grief. You should call me out on that.
Yeah, and like I said, we'll have you on. We'll have you on later in the summer. We'll do a deeper dive.
Things could change by then. You know, a lot of things happen.
Yeah. It might. Gronowski could be the savior, and all of a sudden, Hawkeyes are looking at Big Ten championship. Who knows?
Who knows?
That's Jeff.
Who knows?
Yeah, we got Jeff Book on. Jeff, thank you so much. Everybody, again, go follow him. Go follow his podcast. Entertaining stuff, good quality content, logical optimism for your timeline.
Love it. Love it.
And,
I was going to say, I hope you two and the listeners had half as much fun as I had. I appreciate the invite.
Oh, absolutely. We always do. The listeners, I know, enjoyed it. We'll be back again. Jeff's episode comes out on a Thursday, so we'll be back on a Monday, hopefully with another player. I think we've been just drilling interviews. People are actually answering this offseason, which is great. We will see everybody then. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.